Thank you all for that. Good morning once again, everyone. All right, it's Sunday morning, y'all. We are getting into our third message of the series. Now, we are going to be talking about Jesus on the cross until Easter, which is pretty heavy, in my opinion. About, you know, what the cross is all about, excuse me. However, Christians, if you haven't noticed, many people who aren't believers would say, might agree with what I'm about to say, but the Christian, we're the only ones who will look at a terrible, horrible, grave, disgusting, dark, hard to look at situation and praise God. Y'all agree with that? Now, what we're about to talk about today is part of Jesus' death on the cross, part of his crucifixion, part of the gospel message, part of what has happened as part of God's master plan of salvation. But it's heavy, like super heavy. However, even though it is Sunday morning and we are all here to worship God, I would like to encourage you to ask the Lord to help you respond to what we're about to hear, right, in a way that honors Him, whatever that looks like, right? So if we have a widower or a widow, a spouse of an active or fallen soldier, a child separated from his or her parents in a busy shopping mall, maybe a person in prison, or a person with such an anxiety disorder that they literally cannot leave their home, what would you think that those people would all have in common? You don't have to guess. It's a rhetorical. All of these people and many other groups of people in the world possibly, most likely, have experienced what we know as loneliness. Have y'all ever been lonely before? At some time or another? Maybe because somebody, you're away from your family and you just kind of wish you could be around them again, or you just been by yourself for a little bit longer than you want to be and you just want to be around some people. It's a natural feeling, right? There was a guy, there's a documentary that the National Geographic produced. I haven't watched it yet. It's on my list of documentaries to watch. A guy named Billy Barr lived out in Colorado. Y'all know who he is? Heard of him maybe? This man spent 40 years all by himself up in the mountains of Colorado. Like, no contact. That's like a lifetime, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but that seems like a long time without saying hi to somebody. or, I mean, how many times are you going to talk to yourself in that amount of time? I guess it's possible to get used to loneliness, isn't it? If you're lonely for so long, you just kind of become used to it. You kind of look at it, it kind of feels normal to you or to whoever is experiencing it, right? I can't imagine this guy, 40 years all by himself. And then what if suddenly a group of people just came out that he probably wouldn't get along with them? He probably wouldn't know how to get along with them because he's not used to being around people. He's used to being alone. He's used to the feeling of loneliness. Now, I don't know the man, and I haven't watched the documentary. However, you have to imagine that he would have great difficulty being around other people after that amount of time being lonely, being alone. Do you know a person can be diagnosed with clinical loneliness? You ever heard about that? You ever heard of anything like that? It's not depression, but depression can be a part of it, or it can instigate some kind of depression. But it's a clinical disease called loneliness. These people can be in a crowd of thousands of other people that who they know and who love them, and they love those people, and still feel lonely. Isn't that crazy? It's a reality. So the question I'm going to ask as we get started, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 27 this morning. Have you ever felt lonely, and have you ever been lonely? And those questions I want you to answer to yourself, you and God, but I want you to think about those things as we read Scripture this morning. Two verses for today. I intentionally tried to keep it as simple as I could keep it this morning because I don't want to get distracted from what's happening on the cross in this moment so that we can ask God to help us to understand and experience and make a reality this moment on the cross. All right? So here we are, Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 and 46. Says, from the sixth hour, Jesus is on the cross. He's been hanging on the cross. And all of the insults have been given, thrusted at him. And all of the beatings have occurred. And all of the people were shouting at him while he was on the cross, why don't you save yourself? And what we talked about last week, the thieves on the cross that were with him have already exchanged conversation with him. And now we're at this moment. Verse 45, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. So the time is important, y'all. Darkness came over all the land. Verse 46 says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's our text for this morning, y'all. What we need to understand is, why did Jesus say these words in this moment? Why would Jesus, God in the flesh, the Christ, the Savior of the world, why would he have to say these words to our Father? Notice the punctuations and the exclamation points that are all throughout all of this. Here's what I want to say about this. Jesus is at a moment in his earthly life, his human life. Everybody that he came in contact with, everyone who was following him around his journey as he went around and taught, right? Remember, he's sitting on the side of the mountain and giving out the Beatitudes and giving out what the kingdom of God is like and all of those things. He's doing miracles and all that. All of the crowds had turned on him. Remember? What shall I do with this man Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. As loud as they could. The disciples, the 12 guys that had left their families, left their careers, left their lives to go around and follow Jesus and learn how to be like him, learned how to do miracles in the name of Jesus, learned how to teach the gospel, learned how to cast out demons, all of those things, even those guys had turned on him at some point or another. He was separated from his mother forcefully, it seemed. However, he gave himself to the cross, did he not? So he had to leave the comfort of his mother's company to go to the cross, did he not? She's there. She's there the whole time. But she can do nothing. And nor does he want her to interfere. Have you ever been, even as an adult, have you ever been in a moment in your life where you just want your mama? Right? That's what mamas do. Just want your mama sometime. Can you imagine that Jesus at this moment in his life, and at this moment on the cross, he's been through so much we can't even really wrap our minds around. Wouldn't you think that he wouldn't want his mama. Then were all the people in the world. Remember, he walked around and he would look at people and he would encourage them and he would love them even when they were in their sin. What about this? What about, like, for example, what about the prostitute that was about to be stoned? And Jesus says, whoever's without sin cast the first stone, right? And he loved that person out of her sin. And then there's another one who's wiping his feet with her tears. And he loves that person out of their sin. Remember when Lazarus was dead and they come running to him and he said, and they were like, if you were here earlier, he wouldn't have died. And he started to cry. Because he loved those people. And he loved Lazarus. Jesus came into this world because he loves people. Even when he was in the garden talking to our Father, saying, if there's a whole nother way, let's try that. And then ultimately said, your will be done. Because there is no other way. There was no other way. Because he loves God. And he loves the people that he created. And here he is on the cross. Here he is hanging on the cross, bleeding out, dehydrated, beaten down beyond what any other human being would have ever survived. And even the people he loved were unable to be up there with him. And here we are, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior. And he cries out to our Father and says, why have you forsaken me? And I don't know about you, but I believe that God is always faithful. I believe that God will never leave us. So you have to ask yourself, why did God have to leave Jesus in this moment? And why would Jesus cry out? I would like to submit to you, for the first time in Jesus' entire life in this world, he was alone, completely alone. As lonely gets. Crying out to a father who could not turn his gaze upon him in this moment. This 3 hours of darkness that Jesus had to endure if he wanted to complete the Father's will. In this moment, Jesus felt the most extreme loneliness a human being could ever feel. And it wasn't just a fleeting second or two of loneliness. 3 hours of crying out to our Father, why have you left me? I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in God's promise to never leave me. And I'm the one who sinned, not Jesus. And yet here he is on the cross, desperate for the Father. Desperate for the Father. Innocent. Totally alone. Why? I hope you know why. Don't panic if you don't know why, because I'm about to explain it to you. Because you need to know. We need to know. And if we already know, we need to be reminded. Why? Three-letter word, why? That's the question. And I'll give you a three-letter word answer. Sin. That's why. Because all have fallen short of the glory of God, and all deserve death. And I'm talking about people, you and me, and every other human being that's ever existed. We're separated from our Holy Father, the God of, that created all. We're separated for eternity because of sin, with no way to save ourselves. What a master plan of salvation. And it didn't have to happen. God did not owe us forgiveness. God never needed to do anything about our problem. Do you know that being in sin, being a sinner, is total separation from God? This is why the gospel is urgent. This is why we go into the community and we try to live lives that scream out, God is real and Jesus is the Christ and we all need Him. Because here's the thing, and I'm about, it's got to be said this way. Hell is real. It's getting serious, isn't it? And this is the part of the cross, this is the part of the gospel that nobody wants to look at, not even the Christians, because it's disgusting. It's hard. It should make us sick to our stomach that it took all of this. But it should make us stand up in our seats and praise God that all of this took place, because it's evidence of His great love for you. What kind of God would go through all of this so that you wouldn't be lonely? So that you wouldn't be without Him in total darkness. You think that just because a bunch of people are going to be in hell that you won't be lonely? You will forever in eternity be lonely without Christ, with no one to cry out to. God will never ever hear from you again. Not because He doesn't love you, not because He doesn't want to hear from you, because it's His rule, it's His law. You cannot be in His presence if you are in sin and wickedness. Holiness and wickedness cannot exist together. And therefore, Jesus on the cross, taking all of the burden and guilt of sin on His shoulders, He took it on Himself in those moments. And since all that wickedness and guilt was there, God could not be there. And here He is, our Savior, crying out to a God who could not be there. Not because Jesus wasn't perfect, not because Jesus wasn't faithful, not because Jesus didn't do what Jesus chose to do and what God's plan said He needed to do. It's because you and I sinned is why God couldn't look on Him in this moment. It's hard to swallow. Even though we know that we're forgiven, those of us who are saved, those of us who believe that Jesus is the Christ, we live with joy in our hearts and peace in our minds, because we know that we'll be with God for eternity because of the blood of Christ, because of this moment. And if we live in just that and never, ever visit this moment and be cut to the heart, and be mournful over the fact that it was us that made that happen, we're in trouble. Right? Why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine? Can you imagine being without God? Just for a moment. Now, some of y'all were able to grow up in the church and were able to hear the gospel your whole life and were able to make that decision to be to receive the love that God has offered you in this way and be able to grow up being a disciple. And that's awesome. Praise God for that. But there's other people who aren't saved yet and are adults. There are people who are in their later years and almost taking their last breath, and they don't know the gospel. They haven't received it. They might have heard it, but they don't know it. They're not saved, and they're not with God by choice. And therefore, whether they know it or not, they are lonely. You see, sin brings guilt. Guilt separates people from God. God's plan of salvation involved Jesus on the cross. And in this time of loneliness, Jesus allowed this guilt to be piled on himself so that he could defeat death for eternity. So again, I'll ask the question. Have you ever experienced loneliness? I think there's two ways to answer that question depending on what you believe I'm talking about. I think most people have experienced a worldly kind of loneliness. But what's more important is, have you ever experienced the kind of loneliness that Jesus has experienced on the cross that we just read about? If you've ever come to yourself and said, man, I'm a rebel against God. I'm an enemy of God because I don't live for Him. And I do everything that I do is for me. And I'm sinning against Him. I'm living a life of sin and I need to be saved. That's the moment you realize you're lonely. Right before someone gets saved, it's because they're cut to the heart. They realize that they are without God and they need God. Some people live their whole lives and don't even realize that they're living a life of loneliness because they're so used to living in sin, they see nothing wrong with it. I was like that. And one day, the Lord woke me up. One day, His witnesses, His church, led me to Christ. And one day I was cut to the heart, just like every other person that's been saved. And I realized that I might believe that God is real, but I don't have a relationship with Him. Therefore, I'm all by myself. And you want to talk about being afraid? It's amazing to me how fast a person can go from thinking they got it all together and they can handle this life that we live. And they got it all under control. But once they meet Jesus the way that Paul did on the road to Damascus, the way that every other believer did in whatever their story looks like, once Jesus knocks you off of your high horse, you will realize that you are alone in your sin and that you need our holy God. Isn't that great? Isn't it great that opportunity is there? That we don't have to be alone? The good news is all it takes is to answer this question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? That's just some scripture reference. This right here, by the way, Psalm 22, verse 1, 1,000 years before the cross, David crying out to his God, believing that God had turned his back on him, most likely when David had messed up. But answer this question. We got to answer this question, right? Here's the good news. The good news is there's only one person that's ever lived that's been crucified and taken on the guilt of every sin that man could commit. The better news is it was the one who needed to do it, the only one who could do it, so that you and I would not have to experience that loneliness for eternity. You see why we're on our way to victory. when it comes to Easter Sunday. It's not just bunny rabbits and Easter eggs and purple and yellow and green colors all over the place and let's go eat together and have a great time with our family. Those things are nice, aren't they? But if you're lonely, it doesn't matter. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not saved by the blood of Christ, if you haven't been pulled out of your loneliness, out of the darkness, the dark black hole of loneliness, into the light of Christ and eternal salvation, there's no hope for you. So those of us who are saved, we should say amen and hallelujah, right? And we should be on fire for getting somebody else saved who's not saved. We are great justifiers. We are masters at justifying our behavior, which makes us masters at getting used to being without God until the day we have to leave this world, and then it's like, uh-oh, I don't want to be here. God loves you so much. God loves every person in this world so much that he would put his own son through this, that he would turn his back on his own son. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves your neighbors. That's how much God loves the people you don't even like. That's how much God loves the people that work every nerve you got in your body. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. If you love me, I'll be your Savior. All you have to do is put your faith in me and follow me, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, go into the world and love everybody, right? Why? Because they're lonely. They're without God. So I just gave you the gospel message. So if you're not saved, you want to be saved, you need to be saved, you don't know if you're saved, now's the time. Y'all ready to sing? Let's do this. We're going to sing a song together. And I hope that it's a song that we can sing like saved people would sing. like people who used to be lonely and are no longer lonely. Sing it that way. If you're the only person in the building, you should sing it the same way.